Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, the 104.3 The Fan, brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear. Jack's has locations up and down the Front Range. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, you've never been in one of their outdoor stores. They have both outdoor stores, ranch, farm and ranch stores, and combined stores. If you've never been in one, you're going to be pleasantly surprised at what they will have to outfit you for whatever outdoor activities you enjoy. Let's go to the phones, and joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is avian researcher Brett Walker. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing well. Fall is definitely in the air, and you know, fall is a great time to do wildlife watching in Colorado because everything's changing. They become more active. Some birds are migratory. Some stay. Some animals are feeding for winter. It's just always a wonderful time. And wildlife watching is a huge, huge part of the Colorado culture. In fact, it's in revenue producing. It's right up there with hunting and fishing. But I think a lot of people, you know, they think of parks and wildlife. They think of you guys as managing the game animals. But you have a lot of other activities and initiatives besides that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a number of species in our state wildlife action plan, non-game species that we're really interested in conserving and managing as well.
And I think we're going to talk about one here in a minute, but when you talk about unique species and species that we have such unique terrain, we have our prairies, we have our flatlands, we go up to our mountains, we have the valleys in between. And some species really are unique to some habitat, and we have a number of spectacular species in our alpine regions, don't we?
Absolutely. We have some real habitat specialists that folks are interested in. We have bighorn sheep, mountain goats, white-tailed ptarmigan.
And, you know, and one of the probably most common wildlife watching activities, and sometimes we don't always think of it that way, is bird watching. And we have just tremendous species of birds in Colorado, right?
We have such diversity of terrain that we have some of the highest bird counts in the country.
What are some of the, I know we're going to talk about a specific species, but what are a few of the more common species that people really enjoy watching in Colorado?
Some of the migratory songbirds have some of the most spectacular plumages and some of the most spectacular songs. And there's numerous species of birds that migrate through. We have shorebirds, we have gulls, we have songbirds. It's really there's lots of places to go bird watching in Colorado, and such, you know, incredible terrain, diverse terrain that we can have lots of opportunities.
Now, one bird particular we're going to talk about today, and that's it's a sparrow. And people are familiar with sparrows. I see them in my yard. But there's different types of sparrows that use different habitat. Is that right?
Yeah, we have some birds that are very much habitat specialists. So they're tied to specific types of habitat only. So you have to know exactly where to go to find these species.
Now, you're doing a research project. Tell us about this project, why it's taking place, and a little about in-depth explanation.
Yeah, the work we've done this past summer, this is a fairly short project. It's a, you know, basically a one-year thing at this point. We're looking at the Brewer's Sparrow, which is a small migratory songbird. It's fairly nondescript. It's, you know, it's a typical brown streaky sparrow, or what the birders would call a little brown job. And it's known more for its song than for its looks. It gives some spectacular, some of the most complex songs of any North American sparrow. In Colorado, it's only known to breed in sagebrush. So it's one of those habitat specialists, along with a couple other species like sage thrashers, sagebrush sparrows, and even the greater sage grouse.
Now, there's a subspecies called the Alpine Brewer Sparrow. Is that what we're looking at now?
There is another subspecies. It's called the Timberline Brewer Sparrow. But okay. That sparrow is only, that subspecies is only known to occur in tree-lined shrub habitats in the Canadian Rockies. So it's only known to breed from Alaska down through northwestern Montana.
Now, are you, with this study, are you just studying the sage birds, or are you looking to see if we have the alpine birds here too? And if we do, where would they have come from?
Yeah, so since the early 1900s, there have been scattered reports of brewer sparrows being found up in Willow and Krumholtz habitats near treeline in the Colorado High Country. I mean, you know, this is anywhere from 11 to 13,000 feet, including some pretty well-known locations in Colorado, Mount Evans, Guanella Pass, and the Flat Tops Wilderness. But because brewer sparrows are considered a sagebrush obligate, there's been a lot of questions and a lot of speculation over the past 30 or 40 years about which subspecies these birds are. Could they be unknown populations of the timberline brewer sparrow? Or are they just sagebrush brewer sparrows that are doing weird things by moving up into shrub habitats at high elevation?
And do we have any indication yet? And then you're going to be publishing some information and videos. Is that right?
Yeah. So we produced a video that talks about this research. We're right in the middle of the research, project right now. So we've collected data. We compiled all the historical records. And what we found is that there's a lot more locations in alpine areas than we originally thought. We then visited almost, I think it was 37 of those locations this past summer in both sagebrush and alpine areas. And we found these birds at 12 different alpine locations. So we collected information. We recorded those birds' songs. We captured birds to collect morphological data, so measurements of their body size, as well as genetic samples. And then we banned these birds and we let them go.
And so when will you probably have some conclusive information? Will that be next year sometime?
Yeah, next spring. Right now we're in the middle of analyzing all the acoustic data, the morphological data, and probably most importantly, the genetic data. That's what's going to tell us which subspecies these birds are. But either way, the interesting part is that when you find a bird that is normally thought to only breed in sagebrush, it appears that we actually have a fairly widespread but really poorly known population of birds in these alpine areas in Colorado as well. So it changes our assessments of their conservation status and some of our priorities for monitoring.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize a lot of this work. Now, if you're not a bird watcher or an animal watcher, people might be saying, why are we talking about sparrows? But when you manage all the non-game species, what you find can have dramatic effects on habitat management for game species, because especially migratory birds, they're controlled. There's federal regulations. It really can enhance your ability to manage if you have good information, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, in cases where there are certain things happening in the high country, a lot of that is, you know, tends to be recreation pressure, especially in Colorado. Those things are of interest when we want to know exactly what species we have out there. I think the most kind of fun thing about this is that in an era when we've, you know, been here for hundreds of years, and we're still making new discoveries all the time of what we have here in Colorado.
Now, last thing, if people want some information, you said the best way to recognize these birds is by their song. You do have some information on the website, is that right?
Yeah, we have a blog post on Colorado Outdoors Online that links to that video and describes the research more in depth. So we're anticipating some results in spring of 2022, but we wanted to make folks aware that this project was going on. And if indeed we find that these are basically undiscovered populations of this otherwise Canadian subspecies, then we're definitely going to be needing some help from citizen scientists and birders, folks who are out in the high country in June and future years to help us identify the distribution of these birds. So one of the best ways to identify, the best ways to identify the song is there are a number of different birding apps that you can get or sources online like Cornell University and allaboutbirds.com. Those have lots of different examples of these birds, really spectacular songs.
All right. Well, we are out of time, but keep us posted. If you end up needing volunteers, we'll put the call out for you. All this is interesting because it all intertwines. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you so much, Terry. Appreciate it.
You bet. Brett Walker from Parks and Wildlife. We're going to take a time out. We're going to come back. We're going to take you to another state park, get caught up in what's going on with the fishing and the boating, and also a Halloween event they're going to have that you can take your kids to right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan.